The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Just lost in the flow, and after that, maybe the spinning elbow.
Jiří Denisa Prohaska!
That is six straight wins for Mirab Dhawalij. Willie.
To be honest, I deserve it. Somebody former champion.
Mirab, the machine, Dhawalij Willie!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I today, we have a busy show today again. Our first guest will be joining us shortly. He's a Yankee pitching prospect, Clark Schmidt. And also, we have a couple of huge winners from Saturday night, from Fight Night.
Yes.
Mirab, of course.
Yes.
Great wins. He looked amazing.
Yes.
And Jiří Prochazka. Jiří Prochazka had an amazing win over Dominic Reyes. You know, poor Dominic Reyes, three straight losses, you know, after being undefeated.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's so funny because people don't even look at that John Jones one as a loss. That's how brutal this game could be. Was he undefeated until then?
I believe he was 12-0.
12-0, and he knocked out former champions like our buddy, my good friend Weidman, and he put down a lot of dangerous players in there. And then this Jiří guy, he went five rounds with John Jones, and people arguably, they said, hey, man, a lot of people said he could have won that fight. And then he has two fights back to back after that.
Yeah.
One with Jan Błachowicz, the champ, which his nose put his nose on the other side of his face. I'm saying that with all the respect in the world. I'm just saying that was the fact.
Yeah,
and then he comes back and he looked good. We're gonna talk about the fight, but this Jiří guy, wow, man. And once in a while, one of these guys comes over, once in a while, we get a fighter that's just out of the norm.
Yep.
There's something different about him. And that's this guy. I cannot wait to know his story.
He's interesting, but I tell you one thing that would concern me is I watched the Uzdemir fight as well. And Jiří is he has a good front kick. He's very strong. He's a great striker. He has great, interesting movement, almost like Wonder Boy in a way, but his hands are way down, coming from crazy angles.
I knew you were going to say that shit because you don't like when the hands are down.
No, it's not that I don't like it. But Reyes was landing. Uzdemir, I believe, dropped him with a short left. He's been tagged by the counter with guys. Reyes was able to land on him. Like a lot of times going backwards, Reyes was landing with that left, and Uzdemir also landed on him. Of course, I like the hands down. It's fun to watch, but you can only get away with that for so long against guys like that, especially when you're getting caught. You can say, well, Wonder Boy does it, but Wonder Boy doesn't get tagged that often. Wonder Boy doesn't get tagged.
I talked about this with Ray Longo a little bit, and he was saying the guy's chin is amazing, but I'm saying he's rolling with that shit, man. And Longo goes, no, I get it. And it's almost like in a car crash if somebody's drunk and they're relaxed. That's
sure.
He is so relaxed. How anybody, Dominic was beaming that left. How anybody could absorb that, just roll with it and just like nothing else, just right in his face.
Yeah.
Coming back at him with two and three. It's freaking, it was something else to watch, man. That guy, I mean, it's nice. It's exciting. It just brings that much more excitement into the division.
Hi, Yuri. How are you?
Hey, I'm great.
I was reading about you before, and before I forget to ask you, like, you speak how many different languages? Because I read that you were taking Japanese and another language. How many different languages?
No Japanese, no. Just Russian, English, and Czech, a little bit Germany, and yeah.
Oh, Japanese is incorrect. Do you just like foreign languages, or is it necessary?
I like to what I need to do. So and now I need to learn English. So I'm learning the English.
Yuri, let me ask you, what did you first learn as far as, I'm sorry, you get some water, would you? You
good? Yeah.
What did you first learn as far as martial arts? What was your first discipline?
First, that was from the video game.
Oh, yeah, really?
That was karate and judo on my high school.
High school?
Yeah.
They offered it in high school?
Yeah. I was in on the special high school was the focused for the people like police departments and lawyers and there is a karate and judo.
Shit, man, I wish I had that in my high school.
Yeah.
I would have been not late for school.
That was the best choice in my life. That was the best choice in my life.
Shoot.
Were you hurt at all against your striking was so good. And Reyes landed some very good counters. Which was like every time it looked like he was about to go down, he would fight his way out and land some really solid counters. Was there at any point you were hurt? Like against Uzdemir, it looked like you were hurt once, but were you hurt at all against Reyes, or was it just you were never in any real danger?
He countered me many times, but it was not so badly. Like in one time, and after that, I went to takedown. I tried to take him down. And that was after this fatal punch. What's to make me drunk? Yeah, that was a very bad situation for me. And the kick from the ground to face. Yeah,
it didn't slow you down much at all, though. If anything,
yeah, he kicked me from the ground. He was on the back. He was on the back, and to the face. Yeah, that was too dangerous.
You have a very unique style too. I always get nervous when I watch guys fight with their hands low, because I'm like, it's scary to me to watch it. Was that something that you kind of incorporated after you were fighting for a while? Was it a way of that you like that you're coming from hard angles to figure out, or was it to stop takedowns, or did it just naturally develop for you that way?
I just do the naturally what's my style, but we had a strategy with my team to keep the Dominic in the pressure, because when he's under pressure, he don't work very in combinations. He don't use the long combinations, just the simple punches, and it's more easier this way.
So you started your grappling with your striking. If you started karate in high school with the judo, correct?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So you're not one of those guys that's just, man, I went full ahead into my Muay Thai and my karate, my striking, and then you started learning grappling. You were doing
No. Yeah, I started karate and judo, and I know that it's not so hard for me. Yeah, it was so easy. Yeah, because there is no contact, and in judo it is. But I need to punch somebody. I was needed to learn how to be the best street fighter. So I started with Muay Thai. So that started my career.
As a kid, did we get into any street situations or no?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You and Jimmy both. What happened with you?
I had many street situations, street conflicts, a lot.
Now, did you like to fight, or were you in a tough neighborhood and you kind of had to, or did you enjoy it?
I both. eyeballs.
Yes. I'll tell you, that calm, you stay calm in the midst of a storm like I haven't seen. I mean, Trailblaze is pretty calm too in there in the midst of that when guys are throwing
at them. That's the main mission of the fighting of the fighters. That's the purpose of the fighting, to keep calm in the storm and then take over.
What were you saying? You fought when you were fighting Uzdemir. You were talking to him in the cage. I couldn't make out what you were saying. Do you remember what you were saying to him
in the fight?
Yes.
Maybe sometimes I need to say to my opponent something like that's not so hard and this is nothing. please try it again or something like that to keep myself in a positive mode and push him down. I mean mentally,
mentally. So you like the mental warfare too a little bit. You like the angle.
Sure. Not out of the cage, just in the cage. Because there in the cage, I have to use all my skills, all my weapons to win the fight. So that's the point of the fighting. Yeah. So I'm do that, just this.
I know from sparring, there's something that's very just disappointing when you try to unload. Like when you were pressuring Dominic and he would look to get you off him with a straight left that's leveled many people. And he throws it. And you're still in his face.
Yeah.
It's like you can't come up for air when you're the other guy. Jimmy, I've had this where this guy's in my face. I blast him. And then they're in my face again. I'm like, holy fuck. Yeah. Let me do a takedown. So I was so just impressed when I'm like, oh shit, he's going right into it. And then you would just roll. And it's like he never threw a thing. So I was just so impressed with it. You have such a unique style, that, like all to your own. Because there's a lot of great strikers in the UFC. But there's certain guys you're watching. So Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. There's other karate guys there. But Wonderboy Thompson has his own style. Jury, your style is very unique to your own, which is a very big compliment. How did you develop it? I mean, was it based in karate and then you added in Muay Thai and now you're blending it together? Is it
Yeah. That's it. I connect this style of karate and Muay Thai and then after that I start to learn my natural moves, how to move naturally and be effective in these techniques. So I start to think about how I'm normally moving in how I'm walking, and from this normal walking to use the punches and keep it in the maximum level. So it's like a sprint, because when you want to go fastest as you can, then you use all your powers. So the technique must be like when you try to sprint some roads I start to think about that like this, and the most same style like a natural style of fighting is a kung fu. So now I'm studying the kung fu, and not seriously. Not I have no master. Some master. I'm just watching the videos, because I'm learning from these videos. How it's because I know how to move my body and what I can feel from these movements. But how I said first, I'm learning from my first martial arts was on the game, in the games, PlayStation games. So I'm learning from the TV, and I'm learning from the videos. I'm just sitting and I'm seeing that, and I'm trying to connect my body to this man in the display, and that's it. And then I'm like in Matrix.
you are in the Matrix. When you're in there, you see the spoon. There is no spoon. You're in there and you're feeling it. And I love what I'm watching. And it's so funny you said that about the video games. One, I love video games. And two, Uriah Hall, who's also a great striker, he did something similar. He said something very similar. He used to try to do like he's in Tekken and Mortal Kombat. I don't know if he said Mortal Kombat. I don't know if he said get over here or anything, but he did. Hey, Yuri, for the fans, what do you like to do unrelated to MMA? Reading books, watching movies?
Some work with people. I like to share these martial arts and these mental hacks for the martial arts. So I think there's something like that, but not yet. Now it's time to take the title and all these things.
Have you been given an indication? Are you going to get the winner of Blachowicz Teixeira?
Yeah, I think I like to be the next opponent of the winner from this battle.
Is it true that they wanted you for the UFC earlier and you said not yet? Or did I just hear that wrong? And you wanted more time to train? Or I might be way off.
They offered me this offer from the UFC, and I think 2-3-4 years ago.
Oh wow!
And my team and with me, I said maybe I will. I want to try it. I want to go to the UFC because there is the best guys. And my coaches, they said, Yuri, please stay there, stay in the Rising more till some title, because you need more skills, more fights to be more dangerous for the guys in the UFC. So then I start to learn to be better in the Rising, to be most dangerous in the Rising, and then I'm here.
Now look what we have, Jimmy. Yeah.
And don't you have an 80-inch reach? Do you have? Am I correct with that? You have 80-inch reach.
What?
Do you have an 80-inch reach?
What the fuck is that?
Oh, you're.
Yeah. Long of my. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Because you had a big advantage over Uzdemir, and I think a good advantage over Dominic Reyes, and I can't think of anybody else in that division that has the same length of arms that you do. And I think especially fighting the way you fight, that's a huge advantage. Your fight, your punch is coming from all these crazy angles, and you have the reach advantage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how's the grappling? How is the, because they're going to say, hey, look, I don't want a piece of that shit standing up. They're going to look to put you down. Dominic did, but you got out, and which is phenomenal.
That
shows them, all right, he's got more in the bag.
I like grappling and ground and pound too, but I'm all the time focused to end the fight, and that I can just buy the punches, because that's the quickest way to finish the fight, and I'm focused for that. And so yeah.
And both knockouts you've had in the UFC of Reyes and of Uzdemir have really been devastating. Knock it like one shot, and you walk. Like I like that you walked away. Like when you saw Uzdemir drop, you just kind of walked away. Like you knew he was out. And the same thing, I think, with Dominic. They've both been really devastating, and you're a very, very exciting guy to watch. So look, I hope you get a title shot against the winner. I mean, there's a lot of excitement in your division. Rakic, very exciting. Johnny Walker, even Jamal Hill, way down at the bottom. There's a lot of really, really interesting matchups, but. I'm looking forward to seeing you fight again, and congratulations. It was a great, great win.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
By the way, Matt, we didn't mention, and I almost forgot, Giga Chikadze, a devastating liver kick to Cub Swanson.
A liver kick? You chose him to win.
I chose Cub to win by second round submission.
Wait, who chose Giga?
You did by decision. You said decision.
Who did I say was going to win?
Dominic Reyes.
I mean, you're gonna get into detail.
You said Dominic Reyes was going to win.
Dude, Dominic Reyes was coming out bringing like hell's fury with him. Dude, he was
getting hit more than he was hitting, though. But he was he was impressive in his counter striking and in the fact that just when it looked like he was about to get put away, he would throw a combination or a straight left. So he was really landing on Jiří, but Prochazka was outlanding him clearly. You know what I mean? He was really striking was beautiful.
I mean, he was like in the Matrix. He was like right in front of him. And he was just like dodging punches, eating a couple. But I'm telling you, it reminds me of that old Ray LaMotta. I remember they were asking Ray LaMotta, the great boxer, the Raging Bull.
Man, Jake LaMotta.
What did I say?
Ray LaMotta.
Oh, I was talking to Ray Longo the other day.
Yeah, it's a very good
one. I was thinking of Ray LaMotta. What's
hey,
the guy?
Vicky!
Who lies? Wait, hold on. Are you
That's from Raging Bull. That's,
are you doing Ray Longo as Raging Bull?
That's Ray LaMotta.
Hey,
yeah.
Where's my fucking steak? Hey, you're burning it. It's defeating its own purpose. Yeah.
Gonna bother me about a steak.
Hey, are you talking to me? Oh, wait, that's driver. Wait, hold on. That's taxi driver. Not taxi driver.
You talking to me? That's not Raging Bull. That's taxi driver. Terrible.
Wait, hold on. Although I could fight, I'd rather recite. That's entertainment. I don't know. That was him at the end of the
fucking movie. Yeah, and the beginning. Yeah. Great film.
Oh, dude, Ray was so happy. Dude, I was so happy for Merab. Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness. Was that great?
We're going to talk to him. I almost want to save it for him. But you know what I found so interesting is that in the pre-fight, Jimmy, as they were walking out, and you saw this in the media day leading up, Cody Stamann was saying, I was getting ready to fight him a couple times before, and it fell through for whatever reasons, and I was done training for him until his training partners, who moved around with Merab, wrestled with Merab when Merab was training over at Extreme Couture with Aljo, and they convinced him to take this fight versus Merab because they know they rolled with Kate. They, because when you get to feel the opponent, so these guys, these training partners at Extreme Couture of Cody's, they were working out with Merab. Merab is there visiting and training, and they basically convinced Cody, "Oh, take this fight," because they felt Cody's wrestling would just take care of Merab. And why I thought when I heard that Michael Bisping talked about it, and Megan O'Leary, when they talk about the fighter coming out, when they talk about when they're walking walking to the octagon. So that's what they were talking about. And I remember feeling very at ease with that. And the reason why is because Merab, I've seen him, and Ray's telling me, like, he's been working, and there was a specific, I think the guy was in his corner, actually. There's a very good wrestler, and he would be, he'd be working with Merab, and really having the better of them, way better of them, which is straight up wrestling. But then I watched them spar. And I was watching them spar. And I was shocked when Longo told me that, about this kid beating them in the wrestling. Because when they were sparring, there's a big difference between straight up wrestling and MMA wrestling. And it's spar and for the fight. MMA takedowns. It's just different. Your John Donaher, we used to call it the shoot box, the art of the shoot box. Like where you're striking to takedowns. Okay, feet the floor. Merab's like the master of it. He's timing from the striking to the takedowns and his unorthodox takedowns.
Yeah.
He hit the bigger takedowns in the fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you were watching and saying, first of all, it was a close fight. Merab was clearly ahead. I'd give him all three rounds, but it was a close fight in the sense that Cody Stamann was looking very good.
Very good.
And he was in his face. And he was trying to stay calm. He was trying to bait him into things. And he just, he had it pegged wrong as far as, you know, the abilities of Merab.
Let's let him in. Here he is, Merab.
How are you guys? How are you? How are you, Matt?
First of all, look at his face. Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy, look at his face. His nose, first of all, Jimmy, his nose is always like that.
That's okay.
Look at his face. He's not a mortal.
Matt, that was fun. Remember when the doctor asked me after my fight Canada, your nose was been like this, remember when you shared the video? Yes,
I do remember, because after his fight, who were you fighting then?
Brett Katona, Ultimate Fighter champion.
Katona, and he looked the same. He had a Mark on him, so the doctor looks at him at the fight. He goes, wait, was the nose always like this? He goes, yes, always like this. And he's running around doing that. But he thought the nose just happened. Listen, Merab, congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
Congratulations. It was, first of all, when you get a victory over a skilled guy and a guy like Cody Stamann, when you get a victory in there, you have to look who you're facing. So when you're like beating a guy the way you did, I mean, look, coming off the Dotson fight, Dotson is shit, man. We all know how great Dotson is.
Yeah.
Cody Stamann's more of a young up and comer, more of a guy that's, he's got that wrestling, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but he looked good. Cody looked really good. So to take, it's like you fought Cody looked the best he's looked. He looked really on, and he looked confident. He looked determined, you know? And for you to put on a display that you did to out-wrestle the wrestler in there, and I'm telling you, Merab, you never looked better. Your hands are looking great. How are we feeling, my friend?
Thank you so much, Matt. I was feeling comfortable. Like, first time I think I enjoyed fighting, you know, I was just enjoying. I have a really fun, like, before I don't understand, but now, before fight, you always think what you're gonna do inside, right? And like this time, I was thinking, what should I do? Wrestling? No, this guy is good wrestler. Striking? This guy is good striker. Like, but I said, I am too. Like, I just go and do everything. I was ready everywhere. Like, we was training. I mean, we was prepared jiu-jitsu grappling before, and I was comfortable in my head. Even he takes me down, I'm like, just smash him, fighting. I was very comfortable, and that's how I have a fight.
So comfortable, so comfortable. The second the fight was over, Jimmy, I don't know if you've seen it on the, I watched it on my iPad. I don't know if I got some behind the thing. I don't think it went to commercial on the other thing, but the second fight was over, you said, I love this shit to the camera. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you said that. I love this shit. Merab, you look like you enjoyed that time in the octagon. Like, you, after the, every bell was done, there was a smile, like it's a kid going to the candy store. Just like having a great, you look like you had the time of your life in there, Merab.
Exactly, exactly. I was really like much calm, I'm always excited before fight, I always love fighting, but still, like, it's, I'm more comfortable, and I feel like, because we training hard, Matt, and with high level guys, we have a great team, and we've been training, and that's what we do, and now I realize this, we are nobody.
You know, Merab's record, he could really be undefeated.
I was just thinking of that too. Like the Ricky Simone fight. I mean, come on, that or the split decision before that.
Frankie Size.
Yeah, Frank, right before that. Yeah.
And that's when he had like getting over the floor when he still. And I mean, so I mean, we're looking at a guy that really could just be undefeated right here in the UFC. That's what we're looking at, Jimmy. Jimmy, you know, and I said this earlier, Merab. I loved when I heard, and I'm sure you watched the fight, Merab. I'm sure you watched it. You heard Michael Bisping, Megan O'Leary talking about Cody, saying that, hey, man, I trained for Merab twice. It fell through. I was looking to move on. And then my teammates at Extreme Couture, they wrestled with him. And they were saying, it's a good fight for you, Cody. Take this fight. We wrestled with you and we wrestled with Merab. You're the better wrestler. Take this. Now, what's so funny about this, and I know Ray Longo knows, our inner circle knows, that at our, and we talked about this earlier, Jimmy, I've seen Rob go with guys that could out-wrestle him in just wrestling. The same guys, when they're fighting, totally different story. Marab, talk to me about the difference between wrestling and fighting, like the art of the shoot box, feet the floor striking, and regular wrestling. It's different. It's different.
Big different. It's, and I like you said, now I show this. You know, like wrestling. Yeah, I'm losing wrestling much. Yeah, I'm not a wrestler. But MMA is different. Punching, different. You know?
The timing of the strikes. The highlighted takedown. And then listen, he was game. He's hard to keep down. You're hard to keep down. But the big takedowns. I mean, we got one take. I mean, maybe one or two. We got the one.
We got one takedown. I got back against Cage.
You got back up. But you got big takedowns on this kid. He didn't see that shit coming. He did not. I mean, based on the report, right now he's got the friends that were telling him to take the fight. He's like, put the what's the matter with you? I was moving on.
Shitty advice.
I like Sugar Show and Mo' Alley.
Yes, Jimmy. Like Jimmy, when we training, how we training, Sarah Longo, like we training like a team, and we help each other, and we make sure we always gently to each other. We make, you know, we just training to like better, like we're not damaging people. So, and then when I go to Vegas, and of course, like of course, good people, good gym, like respect everybody. But you know, I go new gym. Of course, I was respectful and I was training with everybody normal. I wasn't like an asshole. Sorry about it. So
yes,
I was, yeah. So and then, I guess, I don't know. Like
fighting, it's different than fighting. Sometimes,
yeah. yes. Like I don't have to show. We always trying to get learn and like make some mistake training, but fighting is different.
You know? Well, when Muhammad Ali would train, if you would watch him in sparring, a lot of times he was working on weaknesses, working on things that he wanted to improve on. So you wouldn't see him at his best in training because he was trying to work on things that he wanted to improve. So yeah, I imagine you can't watch a guy train or train with him once or twice and think this is all this guy has. It's crazy.
Yes, yeah, that's true. Because me, like you, and we're training hard. I still like, I'm training. It's totally different training and fighting. And yes, and I feel bad for Cody Hotel. I mean, a hotel like this. I guess that's
whatever. Oh, what, to make that the state that yeah. fact, they told
yeah,
me
because yeah,
yeah.
Yes, but I was listening. The day interview was Wednesday, like 2 days before fight. And then I listened my interview, and then the automatically goes on Cody's interview, and he was talking about me. I'm not a good fighter, and like something like this. And then, he said this day somebody tell him that I'm not as strong that he should fight me.
But it made me. But I felt strangely calm when I heard that because I remember Longo. Because I remember watching the sparring, a certain sparring, and I'm like, man, he's I'm telling Longo, I go, man, he's really putting it on this guy. And Longo goes, you wouldn't believe it when they wrestled before this. This kid was getting the better of Marab with wrestling. I didn't believe him. I go, dude, from what I'm seeing, I don't fuck what. So it's like. It made me feel strangely calm going, okay, I don't think Cody knows exactly. It's like, hey, dude, listen, Jimmy, I know I'm a little bit older, but I'm dude, I got like 50-something pounds. Jimmy, what?
Just a little, not much. Little. Little older.
Dude, I'm a lot bigger than Rob. I'm a bigger. And he's always, the guy's never out of shape. Dude, he's a hard fuck dude. He doesn't stop moving. Mounted. He's moving it. Wiggling those little legs until he's getting out. It's like I'm looking at the goddamn clock, and I'm bigger. I'm fucking, and I get him if he's gone five rounds. Fucking Marab, after this, and it's such a fucking great victory. You said it. I back you up on this. You wanted a former champion. What? Who do you want, Merab? Say it. You're so humble. Say who you want.
Yeah. Like I said before, I think I deserve a big name. And then, I mean, I have big respects for all the former champions, but we have so many in our division, and our division is so stacked now. We have a TJ Dillashaw, Cody Garbrandt, Jose Aldo.
Frankie Edgar.
Nah. Yeah, I don't never want to fight. We're friendly. Big respect. He's legend. He should fight somebody.
I love that he said that. I love that Merab, I heard it in the post-fight thing. He said that, and it made me so happy that he didn't want to fight Frankie, because I love Frank. I just did Frankie's podcast the other day, Jimmy. I told you about that.
Right.
I'm still recovering. I had a good time. I'm retired now. I like to indulge a little bit. I'm not looking. Marab's a perfect thing of health there. I never smoke, never drinks. This guy's awesome. But I like that you didn't want to fight Frankie. Out of respect, he said that. That's a legend. There's enough people for him to beat up. Jimmy, there's certain guys that don't have an off switch. In other words, you're not going to do something to them to make them reconsider their career. Merab, you have to put he has to be unconscious. These guys watching him over the weekend got to say, all right, if I don't shut his lights off, he's going to be in my fucking face for 25 minutes. It's like, dude, it's like not getting the guy off you. Hey, and congratulations on your countryman, Giga.
Thank you, Giga. Yeah, he did a great job. Yeah, he's on fire.
Rob.
Yes.
I picked him. Jimmy picked Cub. But I'm just saying.
I understand. It's understandable, Jimmy. It's understandable.
Jimmy.
Now you know.
Are you? How far into a fight usually? Because your cardio, it's I don't think I've seen anybody with cardio like your. How far into a fight can you normally feel? Okay, now I really have an advantage because I can feel how tired this person is getting. I mean, your fights tend to go into the later rounds, which is such a smart strategy because you know that you're probably going to outwork these guys. How far into it can you normally tell that your cardio is paying off?
Like my last fight, actually, I was just fighting, just having fun. I wasn't like really nothing stressed. I was just having fun, and then I heard he was breathing heavy. I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, you know, I felt it like really like because when I was sparring with Aljo, I never felt like this. He's always showed me great face, and we always actually, I'm getting tired with Aljo. That's when I realized I have to work more of my cardio. So, but yeah, but otherwise, I guess, but we're working hard, every session. And, I don't know, everybody should be ready for 15 minutes. And,
But usually guys need a break in there, Merab.
Yeah, your 15 minutes are different than a lot of guys' 15 minutes. Like your guy, your 15 minutes is nonstop. You're right. Usually there's some kind of a break, but you literally don't stop moving. It's fun to watch. I mean, your fights are always extremely exciting.
Jimmy, did you see Merab? Did you see him jump into that frozen lake and cut his head open?
I did not.
Are you serious? You did
not see it. No.
You're gonna have to look on Instagram, Jimmy. He got to get his head stapled together. He guy's going for a jog, and it's this snow all over. You know, he's going for a jog, and he sees a lake. He puts his camera. You gotta look on his Instagram, Jimmy. You really have to.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, he just dives in. Oh shit! He gets up. You know what? He cut his head open. He got to get staples in his fucking head, Jimmy.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it right now. It's on the Daily Mail, which is a big website.
Listen, he's pretty. He's got his social media game. Pretty, it might be 50 posts ago, but
yeah, again, because of this post, I gained 10,000 followers.
Holy I believe it, dude. You know what the UFC did? I think they fucked with me because they know I'm not cornering anymore. They did a thing, Jimmy, on the UFC Instagram of a little montage of me coaching Merab. You saw that, Merab, in the corner? Oh my,
a million plus.
Got a lot more fucking view. You probably got a lot more shit from that. That was beautiful, though. That made me so emotional. I loved it so much because they have to do something. Looks like my head's going to fucking explode. I'm retired from cornering because I might fucking have a heart attack.
No, Matt, I tell. No, hopefully not retired next fight. Hopefully you with us again. I make sure I tell Pumi Wilson, please be loud. I'm going to miss Meta. You know, I don't know how it's going to affect me. I said, please be loud, talk. And Ray said, don't worry, man. I'm feeling a bit mad. It's now Matt's more loud, but Ray told me, don't worry.
You'll hear him.
He's too loud too before, but you know, works good. Yeah.
Pumi, I thought the corner was great. It was great. Pumi is another gentleman. What's Pumi's last name again? I'm so sorry. It's right on my
Nikuta.
Yes, of course, Nikuta. Pumi. He's gonna listen. He has to be in the UFC eventually. He could be the next 125 pound champ. He's that good, right, Marab?
Yes, Matt. When we was training for my before fight, Tatsun, I was sparring with him, and then he's regular, and he was standing for me southpaw. And then he was beat me up from the south floor, and I was thinking I was nervous for that zone because Pumi, he's 125,
yes.
I'm 135, and he changed his south floor, and it was so hard to spar with him. I'm like, I was nervous, but when I go fight with the Datsun, it was so easy. So Pumi Nikuta, he's unbelievable. He's great.
Cage Fury champion.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's another one to look out for, Jimmy, because that kid, he's like, because I'll tell you, because he's another guy. I see him sparring with our guys, and he's just such a talent. He's a champion. Sooner or later, he's getting to the big show. I mean, and he's a young kid too. So sky's the limit. So how soon do you want to get back in, Marab? Not next week. Take a couple weeks off. Don't do a Kevin Holland. when in your mind do you want to get back in there?
I'm healthy and nothing's bothered me. And now, I will take some days off because I try my before fight. I try to come back next week, start training, but you know, still hits you because weight cuts and no motivation. You're not hungry. Next week, especially after a week. So I will take this week. I will go slow, maybe swim or run or walk, bicycle, something. And next week I'll be gym. And I will try to come tomorrow, your session, jiu-jitsu. Hey,
please do. Yes. Man. Guys would love to see you. They're going to love to see you. They're going to cheer. You know, it's so funny. He's like, I want to take a few days off. I'm just going to bike and swim and maybe jog. What? He does what we call active rest, Jimmy.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not going to find him if he's got a headset on. Like his instructor. Marab, I am so damn happy for you. Nobody deserves it more. Nobody on the Cerro Longo team is more loved than Marab. He's the heart of the team, Jimmy.
Yes, we're really tight team, and I love it. And we're really one family. And then I love how we all got back, and then we're happy to each other, and we cheer to each other. This is amazing. We really big history and big history team. You know, and the big and it's a big traditional team and family, right? And Matt, I want to in a couple of days, I want to talk to you guys, you Ray, and maybe we should go to Georgia restaurant this time in Brooklyn. Yes, let's do it.
I'm down for that, Jimmy, man.
Jimmy, please, if you will have a time, Jimmy, welcome. Please, you can come with us.
I would love to.
You're gonna like Georgian food. It's delicious.
All right, I've never had it.
He brought me when we were in Russia. He brought me and Longo, and we had some delicious food, kebabs and stuff. Ooh, so good. Oh, I'm down for that, Marab. I was going to say, let's go to Patsy's Pizzeria, but that's even better. Let's do that.
Yes, let's go. Let's go to the Georgian place.
Hey, man. Hey, listen, Marab, in all seriousness, you might have saved Longo's life. If you would have lost, he might have just had a heart attack. He needed that more than anybody. He needed it. We've been having a rough time lately. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he told me. We have Chris, like, big injury. It's really, it was so, yeah, because I mean, we all know how strong he was. This time he was more than ready.
Yes, that's the worst.
Great training, great, best shape ever. And then the stylistically fight was easy for him because he's a wrestler and he was good shape, like wrestling wise. And he should take him down and maul him, you know. But big respect to Ryan Hall, but you know, but yeah.
What makes me feel better about that? It makes me feel like, okay, not a little bit better about the whole situation is I know the worst is I know he's still got a way to go, but the absolute worst is gone. So it's like, I just seeing my friend in pain like that. You know what I mean? It's just really like gut wrenching, you know, but Marab, you brought back the team morale. I'm sure you put a smile on Chris's face, you know, Marab. So hell man, congrats again, my man.
Yeah, great job, man. Amazing.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. And I'm like I said, I'm really hungry. I enjoy this and I want to keep fighting. And I have lost before. I don't care. I'm not scared for loss. I just enjoy process. I want to keep fighting. And this is best. Like go weight cut. It sucks, but fighting it's. I don't know. It's I don't rather be any place than like cage. it's good. And
when some guys are so nervous, Jimmy, when it's fight night, there's no place they'd rather be any other place than there at that moment. If somebody came to them a day before the fight, fight off, they might be like, "Oh, really?" And they'd be like, "Oh, fuck, thank God." Where I think they'd be like, "What?" Like that's you know what I mean. There's no other place Marab would rather be than in that cage on fight night. And it shows, Marab. It shows.
Yeah. Yep. Amazing job.
Come on. Come by tomorrow night, please. We're going to have a good time.
Okay, I will see you tomorrow.
Anything else you want to plug?
No, I just want to wish Chris Weidman speedy recovery. I love it. He's stay positive and he's keep posting. And he stayed positive with this, and I know how strong he is and how good person he is. He's gonna come back strong, and he's gonna win title again. I believe this. And Aljo feeling much better, man. Like already because of neck, the surgery, and then he's gonna be very strong back.
We're gonna get him ready for that rematch. Everybody's talking shit, but look, Aljo takes care of that rematch with Peter Yan. He puts him away. No one's talking about the bullshit before.
Exactly. Yes.
We're going to help him get ready, Marab. He's got the machine behind him. There's no stopping him.
Whole team.
No
stopping along you. The team.
Whole team behind him. Marab, man, we love you. Congratulations again, brother.
See you soon, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Clark, is that you? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you? Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Clark Schmidt. Where are you now?
I'm down in Tampa, Florida right now.
Oh, Yankees. That's right. Spring training is down there.
Yep.
Do you live there full time?
No, I do not live here full time. I had I live here. I have a place down here that I stay at for spring training. And then I live in the off seasons in Atlanta and then in New York typically during the season. But right now I strain my forearm in spring training. So I'm down here kind of grinding that out, trying to get that healthy and get back.
Clark, yeah. I'm sorry, Jimmy. I was just going to say, we heard that Clark's a big MMA fan.
Oh yeah. Yeah, big MMA guy. I got into the I guess you could say the fight game when I was in early high school, and then ever since then I just kind of we've been watching it with my buddies, and we haven't stopped since.
Do you train?
No, I do not. I think my PTs and all my coaches would get a little bit mad at me if I started doing boxing on my shoulder and stuff like that. But I've always wanted to. I was always thought about it doing it after my career, like just kind of playing around, rolling around on the mats and stuff like that. But I haven't got into it full time.
I'm amazed by anybody who can pitch, because I pitched in high school, and I was really if you want to see what people look like when they're walking around the bases, ball four, like I literally just walking in runs. But how anybody can pitch and keep your arm in shape, I do that. I have the Matt got me into the Oculus, and so I do the VR, boxing workout, the VR, and like after one boxing workout, I need like 2 or 3 days off. My arms are sore, my shoulders are sore. Like I don't know how the fuck you guys like literally pitch for 8 or 9 innings, and without crippling yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I think when you're as an athlete and you're watching a UFC fighter like just put their body completely on the line, you just feel for them so much to be able to do what they do and bounce back in the time that they have. I mean, it's just like full bore for however many minutes that they're going at it, and that's the same thing it is for pitching. I think for me being a starting pitcher, a lot of us, it's like, they're not really taking any pitches off. So it's 100% every pitch for 100 or so pitches. And that could be a few hours of just a strenuous workout. And so I think there's really nothing that can repeat that soreness that there is when you're having that pitching. I think, I spend a whole off season, like working out, doing stuff every single day. And then as soon as we get into spring training, we have that first outing, there's no soreness like the soreness you have when you're pitching.
Now, what determines whether someone, like when you become a relief pitcher, lefty or righty specialist, like Mariano Rivera started as a starting pitcher. And right. What all of a sudden will make you, will they put you in middle relief? And then all of a sudden you become like a closer, or what makes someone go, you know what, I don't want to start anymore, I want to be a relief pitcher?
Yeah, so I think a lot of it depends on, first of all, how many pitches you throw. I think the more pitches you throw, the more ways you have to get guys out, the longer you can go in outings without lineup seeing you 2 to 3 times and not them not, and you're not getting predictable. So for me, I think I've always been a starter when I was younger. I think pretty much everybody's a starter if you're a prospect in high school, and then everybody you get to college and then you either become a closer or reliever or whatever you are. And for me, when I got to college, I had enough pitches and I was able to get guys out in different ways, and so I just kind of always stuck with it, and I was always that guy who can kind of go late in games and throw a lot of pitches, and so it's carried me to this point. And so I love it. I think for me, I throw every 5 days, and so I have a routine. And I have like kind of strict routine that I kind of stay on, and it's easy for me to stay on top of stuff and prepare for my next start rather than being some of these relievers, man. They don't really, they can throw 3 days in a row and they don't know when they're throwing. They could be like, okay, you're throwing, you got the next hitter in 5 minutes. And so they got to warm up really quick. So it's really unpredictable being a reliever. And so for me, I'm living the good life being a starter. I get to prepare every 5 days and enjoy that.
Jimmy. Yes. I don't know too much about baseball.
Okay.
But I do know, Clark, when they, as a pitcher, maybe one's the little to the left or the right, you tag the guy, all of a sudden they're charging the mound. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you almost now? I know you're not trained, but I know you sure got the right hand. You're charging the mound. I'm sure you're not, you don't look like a little guy. What do you think? Are you thinking... Yeah. They're going to break this up anyway. Let me put on my best face. Or are you thinking, bring it to me? Or are you thinking, oh, yeah. Fellas? What do you think?
I'm ready to go, man. I think I've always been that. I think once you're in that zone too, and you have and you're in the game and that adrenaline's flowing, it's just like, there's nothing like it to me. I love it. I've always been a competitor. I've always kind of had that like killer mentality. Yeah. So if something like that goes down you always like as a pitcher, it's never really happened to me, but you're always like, man, I wonder what would happen if this happened. Like, how would I do this and that? And so, yeah, I'm ready to go, man. If anybody wants to come at me, I'm ready to rock. I also play for a really big team. We got Stanton and a bunch of Judge and a bunch of big guys. So yeah. I know that if I go down swinging, I got some big guys behind me coming.
Yeah. You want a catcher who's aggressive. You want an aggressive, a catcher who's not afraid to get into it. But I always thought the pressure with relief pitching is crazy too, because you're right. You have no idea when you're pitching. All of a sudden you're relaxing and you're watching somebody blow like a 3-run lead. And you're like, what the fuck? Now you got to come up with, you know, guys on second and third and nobody out. Like, there's a really weird pressure where you got to kind of come in and mop up somebody else's mess.
Yeah. And which is funny. I mean, I had to, when I debuted in MLB, I was a reliever. I debuted as a reliever just because that's what they needed at the time. And so, and I've never relieved in my life. And so it was like something that I've never, and you know, you always like, you know, when you're in high school and you're in college and you've had guys come in and they'll cash in your runs and you're like, fuck man. Like I was pitching really good. I had a really good stat line. And then this guy came in and cashed my runs in. So, you know what it's like to be on both ends of it. And so I gained a ton of respect and sympathy for these relievers coming in and doing what they're doing with bases loaded or whatever it is and getting out of jams. And so, yeah, it's definitely a tough job. And for what they're able to do day in and day out for a 162 game season is kind of insane. I mean, being able to have however many appearances they have in 60 innings, and it's crazy what they're able to do.
Now, is there any, like some people ask me, because, you know, it's the fight, they ask me about some fighting movies, and I'm like, ah, I don't, this one, that one, I don't. Is there any baseball movies, The Natural, fucking Bill Durham, Tin Cup or something? Is there any, Kevin Costner's in like 8 of them. Is there any baseball, that guy must love that shit, Field of Dreams.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is there any baseball movie oh, that one just resonates with me?
Yeah, I think a few of them that are really like, oh, that shit's spot on. I would say Bull Durham. Like, Bull Durham is like, it is a direct representation of the minor leagues. Like, it shows you the grind and like the bus trips and the shit that they go through. It's spot on. And I'd say Moneyball. Moneyball is pretty, the one with Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill. It's actually really good. Yeah, it's pretty spot on. I mean, as far as like you kind of see the ins and outs of like how the front office and stuff like that works. And it was really interesting.
The Moneyball one was how like the joke, they had a total different, it was about recruiting. If I remember correctly, because I'm not a fan of movies, but I'm not a big baseball guy, but it was so interesting, Jimmy, because Jonah Hill, like Brad Pitt, like owned a team and Jonah Hill was like, look,
the Oakland A's.
Yeah. Oh, you know the story.
Yeah.
But he was coming up with a different way of putting a team together by their different, like, I'm gonna fucking kill this. Nobody's gonna want to see the movie because I'm not gonna.
am I right? Was it the Oakland A's? Is that the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman too? Philip Seymour Hoffman played the manager, right?
Right. Yeah. It's so basically like the. Please, I'll try to give a quick synopsis of it. I'll save you. Basically, these guys. The Oakland A's, when they were coming up, it was a very like cheaper organization. Like they're trying to fight these big market teams like the Yankees and all these bigger name teams. And so they couldn't afford to pay for these big free agents. So their way was to come up with the algorithm basically and have these kind of go away from the traditional scouting and get guys that weren't sought after. And so, and honestly, that's kind of how the game is heading today, where you see a lot more. Before, when we were first coming up in the game, it was like, you know, just go up there. And if you're good enough, you're good enough. Like your talent's going to show. And if you're a winning team, you're going to be a winning team. But nowadays, like the analytics of the game are taking over. And, so a lot of decisions come from the front office and a lot of decisions are coming from these guys who I don't want to say sit behind computers, but these guys who, you know, they compute algorithms and they have all these answers, and there's a lot of the stuff is from like expected results. And so these guys are kind of taking over the game and it's funny that it pretty much all started with Moneyball.
Jimmy, you should watch it, Jimmy.
I've seen it.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. That's how I remember Philip Seymour Hoffman. What's the toughest loss you've ever taken? Like, is there one where you're like, either it was your fault or somebody else's fault?
Yeah. That
was
so really hard. It's funny. I would have to say my MLB debut. So my debut, like I said, I came in as a reliever and there was runners on base. And it was at the time when we were doing double headers, or we're still doing it this year. They were 7-inning games. And so it was like the sixth inning. I came in, we were up by one or two and I there was two runners on base and I let up both the runs. And it was just like, it was one of those feelings where I was like, damn, like, I felt like absolute shit because I gave up the starter's runs. He was having a good start and I cashed in his runs. And so I ended up, you know, I blew the game. And so that's one that weighs heavy on my heart, because I know how it is as a starter to have your game blown. And so, yeah, that was definitely the toughest one. Obviously, it being in your MLB debut, you're like, oh, I want this to be the best outing I've ever had. And you're expecting this and that to happen. But, you know how it always is. Nothing ever really goes to plan.
Yeah, I guess not. It's funny, as a fan, you just look at it so much differently. And I haven't watched, I've kind of only watched MMA for the last few years. I just got so caught up in it. How often do you watch fights? Do you watch occasionally?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much, I mean, I watch multiple cards a month. I mean, I'm pretty much staying on top of it. I have me and a few buddies, we have our own little UFC like group text, and we're pretty much staying on top of each other, like talking about the upcoming fights and stuff like that. And so, the most, I didn't get to watch, I watched the highlights of the Reyes fight, of the knockout and stuff like that, but that was a crazy knockout. And then the UFC 261 was the last card that I got, which obviously that was an insane card.
Yeah, it really was. Oh, are you going to watch Chandler Oliveira? I'm looking forward to a lot.
Yeah,
what do you think of that fight?
Yeah, I think I love Chandler, man. The way he came in, I think obviously making a debut like that is like, he's just pure electric. He's just so explosive to me. Like, when you're watching like an athlete watching a fellow athlete like that, it's just like, I checked out his Instagram and shit like that, and just some of the workouts and stuff that he was doing. I mean, this guy is like, it's like, he's just a pure athlete. So he's got a lot of weapons to beat you with.
Yeah. And what's the other one? Diaz against Leon Edwards. I'm looking forward to that. Remember that? That's a really great fight. I'm happy for Leon too, getting a big fight like that.
I know. I think anytime you got Diaz attached to it, it's going to bring in some fans. And so I think that's going to be big for him. I think he's like kind of like an underrated superstar almost with Edwards. And so I'm looking forward to watching that one.
Is there a fight that if you, that didn't happen, that you would still like to have happen?
Well, a fight that has to happen in my eyes is the John Jones and Ngannou fight. I mean, I want that. I think that's just like, that's just got super, that, I mean, that is going to be one of the biggest fights if they make that happen. I don't know if it will happen, but man, I really hope that one happens.
That would be huge though. That would be absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, I mean, and I grew up, that's what got me into the UFC was John Jones. I remember, like I said, being early in high school, watching him growing up fighting and just absolutely running through guys, wrecking guys. And so I started watching him. And then after that, it was like, it was the Conor McGregors and everybody else. And so that's what really got me attached to the game.
Yeah. Those guys are so great for the sport, because they get people like Ronda, got so many people watching, and then all of a sudden they stay. Like the people wind up seeing that. That's what the thing that UFC does better than boxing is that the undercards are so good. The prelims are great. The co-main is great. There's so many good fights. You'll watch it and go, fuck, I like this guy, or Justin Gaethje. Like I would watch Justin Gaethje fight anyone. Like
100%. Yeah. And I think that's like you said, I think early on in previous years in UFC, I think it was, there was guys that were just absolute killers, but they weren't as good as they were at entertain. They weren't as great entertainers. And I think when you had like the McGregors and all Masvidals and all these guys who like you said, Rousey and all these people who are bringing a lot of fans to the game, they're great at entertaining. And the way that they're knocking out people and the way they're handling their media and their off the field or out of the ring stuff, I think, or Octagon, I should say, I think that's really bringing a lot of people to the sport. And I think once you really watch it, you sit down and you watch your first card, you're like, oh my God, this shit's awesome. Like, these guys are just beating the shit out of each other. And it's like, dude, this is so entertaining. So yeah, I really enjoy it.
But you know, what's great about guys like Jorge Masvidal and Connor is both of those guys, when they lose, they're good losers. Like both of those guys, like you wind up liking them after they lose too. Like I never liked Connor until I saw him lose. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of like him. But they both handle losses really well.
Oh, 100%. And I think, and that's one of the things when I was watching Connor, like early on, I was watching him just win it all the time. And then I was like, man, I really like this guy. And then I watched him lose and I was like, damn, this dude is actually like he's like a genuine guy. Like he wasn't like a dickhead about it. He kind of took his loss and brushed his shoulders off and got right back into it. And that's kind of how, you know, as a competitor, that's how you have to be. I think, you know, a lot of times you see some guys take a little bit of worse than others, but yeah, like you said, Masvidal, he took it amazing. That last loss, it was almost like, I mean, Usman's just an absolute beast. I mean, like, I don't know anybody in that division who's really going to give him too much competition. So, yeah, I still got love for Masvidal. Hopefully he can get back in there soon and get a good fight. Get a good fight going
with the Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier trilogy. What is your thoughts on that
one? Yeah,
Clark, you're in the hot seat.
I'm a little scared, man. I think hopefully, I mean, obviously, you know, you see from afar with Instagram and everything that McGregor, obviously the work that he was putting in on the last fight was, you know, it was kind of stuff you didn't see for previous years. And so hopefully, I think he's going to be able to counter the foot strikes and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think at any moment, they're both just lethal strikers that like anybody could win that fight. But obviously I got to ride with my guy. So I'm going to ride with McGregor, but I think it's going to be another good fight. You know, I probably lost a little bit too much money to bet on him again. So I might have to hold off on that one, but I'm definitely rooting for him this time.
Man, speaking of money, Jimmy, you know, this is what I give Conor McGregor a lot of respect for even fighting. Cause it's not like, and I'm not attacking other sports there, Clark, but you know, it's not like, you know what the hell, I got a lot of money, but I'll get paid some more and I'll play some more ball. Not that it's easy, but when you get enough money and you're like, all right, maybe I don't have to be locked in a cage with another trained killer. You know, maybe I can just hang out on my yacht and sell some whiskey. You know what I mean? You don't.
That's crazy.
You have to want to be. It has to be in you to still get trained and to train and get inside that octagon, man, with some of the best fighters on the planet.
100%. And I think, and you know, you see that in a lot of sports, like where guys, they get the big contract and you're like, oh, okay. Like he doesn't care. Like you can just see, like he doesn't care as much or,
yeah.
And like some people get that big contract and they're still the same player. They still want to win. But then there's some people like where it's like, but, and then you're just talking, it's a different, you can't compare it like a baseball player. Like if they get a big contract, like life is like, you got a lot more money. Life is still the same. Like you're going out there, you're playing a sport that, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then, but UFC, like, you get a big contract and it's like, do I really want to go get my jaw broken or possibly get my teeth knocked out? It's like, dude, you start second guessing it. So I see where, you know, there's a lot of arguments about, you know, whether Dana and, you know, I'm keeping up with the John Jones situation, whether he should get paid more and this and that. So you see both sides of it. It's tough to be like, all right, this guy deserves, like, let's give him the world, but then how is he going to be the same dog that he was before?
I don't know what they're offering, Jones. McGregor, though, sold, what's it called, Proper 12, and the rumor was that he got $600 million for his share.
Right.
It might be less, but, I mean, it's more than he'll ever make fighting. So, yeah, I have even more respect for him for getting into it, even if that's a lie. Even if he only made a third, even if he only made fucking $250 million. I mean, it's still a crazy amount of money. And to still be willing to get in there and fight. So I don't know what they're offering John, but John has lost a couple of years in the sense that he was out for the suspension and he had a couple of other little things happen. So you think he would want to take this, unless they're offering him awful money, which I can't imagine they are. But the fact that him and Ngannou are going back and forth on Twitter, this fight's going to happen. They'd both be nuts to let this one pass. They would both be fucking nuts because there's no bigger fight for either of these guys in the foreseeable future.
And I think with Reyes losing and like Ngannou, you know, for me, I thought Ngannou maybe would take a fight in between the Jones fight and kind of, but I think if he forces the UFC's hand and kind of is like, this is the fight I want. And I think you almost have to give the fight to him. I think for pure entertainment value, I think John Jones and this fight would be one of the biggest fights in recent years. And so I think it's a no brainer. I think hopefully, you know, obviously we don't know the numbers that they're going back and forth on with Jones, but I mean, if you look back, I think Jones is like one of those guys who helped build this sport. It's like almost like you have to compensate this guy for what he's done for the sport. And obviously he's had the years with the suspensions and stuff going out of the octagon. But I think like, even when you think about other sports, like, for baseball, a lot of the contracts for us is like backdated. Like if you have a good 3 years before, you're going to get paid in your next year just because, you know, from what you did and how much you produced. And so that should kind of how it worked for John Jones. I mean, the amount of people that he's brought to the sport, he should get compensated just from that alone.
Well, Derek Lewis is a rumor. I mean, I would love to see the rematch of Ngannou Lewis because that first fight was not a great fight. But if it's not going to be Jones, it's going to be Derek Lewis. And I would be interested in seeing that too, but I would rather see John first. But I imagine they are offering him a decent amount. I mean, he's a businessman too. He's a smart guy. So I hope it happens. The fact they're going back and forth on Twitter tells me that They're both pretty sure. And there's something about a heavyweight fight that even though Conor's fights are huge and Ronda, obviously, there's something about Jones at heavyweight fighting a guy like Ngannou, who's just a murderer. This would be one of the biggest fights ever.
Yeah, and I think that for me, like, when you see, like, anything heavyweight, it's just, like, that carries a bigger title to it. I mean, even if you look in the boxing world and you look at the Tyson Furies and stuff like, and the AJs and the stuff like that, like, those guys bring so many fans to the sport, and just because the title of it being a heavyweight fight, there's something about a 200-something-pound man going out there and just, like, trying to kill each other. It's a lot different than when you're watching, you know, these 160-pound men. I mean, even though all of them would be whooping my ass, but I think it's cool just to watch these guys just to go out there and especially carrying that heavyweight title.
Hey, Clark, would you look at me differently if I told you that my favorite baseball movie is A League of Their Own? Who knew Madonna could act? There's no crying in baseball. No,
dude, that Rosie is a O'Donnell, hell of a movie.
Rosie O'Donnell making the bases? No.
Oh yeah, Tom Hanks killing it, man. That is one of my favorite baseball movies. I tell people that all the time, and they're like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "Dude, this is like one of the most underrated movies out there."
It's out there. It's up there. A League of Their
Own. And also Major League, the one with
very funny. Yeah,
Major League is hilarious. That one is absolutely Wesley Snipes and all those guys. Yeah. Charlie Sheen, dude, it's so funny.
Hey, Clark, are you? We'd love you to come back and talk to us again, man. It's great to have a guy who's an athlete who loves UFC as well. Are you promoting anything besides the Yankee season? Is there anything you're promoting in particular?
Yeah, not really, man. I'm first of all, I'm trying to, you know, like I said, I strained my forearm, so I've been really just kind of locked in on that, trying to get right, and been working like crazy to get back, and so hopefully should be back soon. I started throwing a few weeks ago, and everything's gone good so far. So really it's just kind of sticking to the grind and getting back to it. And so I'm enjoying my time of, you know, there's something about, you know, when you're in times like this, when it's, you're kind of hurt, I think all athletes can speak to it. You know, you got to dig a little deeper. So I'm enjoying it and kind of learning new things. And so, yeah, like I said, I'm just kind of staying focused on the game right now.
Well, look, it was great talking to you, and definitely come back and talk to us again. We'll talk some fights, and you know, we'll see what happens with Jones and Ngannou, and we'll talk to you again soon, man. It was really, really fun talking to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me on. I enjoyed it. Looking forward to coming back on.
Yeah, good luck too, man, getting healed up and pitching this year. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thanks, all right, Clark. Guys, you take it easy. Yep.
Okay, all right, nice be good, you. Clark. Take care.
Any other fights that we did not touch on?
No, I think we covered everything pretty major.
Yeah, but we'll be back in a couple of days.
Yes, we will.
The war. Jimmy, I had almost too much fun, you know?
Yeah, I had a fair amount of fun.
You really got to just take it down.
I loved it.
All right, Jimmy, listen, you send me a zooted Chipperson shirt?
Yes, I will. I got to get your address.
Where can I get myself one?
Chipperson.com, or you can go on. I'm not on the app. I'm only on the website. Cameo.com. Get yourself a Chip or Jim Norton. Or Doug Bell. Go to cameo.com/Doug Bell.
Just for I know that they on the Jim and Sam show, I got to meet Doug Bell.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it wasn't awkward. He's a little awkward.
Yeah.
And for the people that know, the people know Chip Chipperson.
Yeah.
But for our audience, who exactly is Doug Bell? Really quick.
Just a comedian. He had a lot going on. And then he had an incident of self-harm. And then he's dropped out for 7 years, but now he's coming back. He's a little medicated, and he's just better than ever.
I'm going to say, I don't know how he was back in the day, Jimmy, but he didn't, I'm not going to say cringy. It was a little awkward, and I don't think his self-confidence is where it should be.
He's not blowing the doors off the place as of right now. No, he's not.
You're the fucking best. I'm on Cameo. You can find me on there. Besides that, find me here, people. SarahBJJ.com if you're in Huntington, Long Island. Jimmy, love you, man. I'll see you in a couple.
I love you, pal. I'll see you soon.
Later, buddy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.